mediocre.
Well, no shit. Thanks for nothing, Miriam and or Webster.
Okay. Mediocre, of moderate or ordinary to low quality, value, ability, or performance.
Is he talking about how I golf or how you gamble?
Wait a minute. Is this an oxymoron podcast? Happy hours are always awesome. They're never mediocre. You know what? Screw it. We've done 12 f***ing takes. The missus has called my phone 7 times, which means she's hit the bottle already pretty hard. I need to get home. 3, 2, 1. You're the best. It's time for another edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour, where anything is up for grabs. Golf, gambling, football, gambling on football, Plato's influence on modern culture. Hey, that's cool. My kids love Plato. Here are your guys, Millar and JSG. Good luck, fellas.
Welcome in, Mediocre Happy Hour, episode number 46, as it may not be argued about, but it might be 46. Who we got for 46?
It is either the Andy Pettit episode, or he's your long snapper on your team. You have no idea what his name is, but 46 is probably your long snapper.
We are going with the long snapper.
Okay, so I like it.
Welcome to the long snapper edition of Mediocre Happy Hour. Lots to talk about here today. We've got let's call it a mediocre amount to talk about today.
I mean, I think we can gloss over most of the Seminole Cup from my particular perspective. We can just gloss right over that.
Yeah, just kind of forget it ever happened, and the loss was by 2 points in a not really even. The score wasn't as close as what it indicated. So, yeah. If you want to gloss over that, hey, it was good to talk to everybody, and we will see you next time. Joe, you want to bring it home?
Yeah, that was good. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Congrats, Millar. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, I've heard that a few times recently, and that's, kind of the way it goes. So, the Seminole Cup, we've had a couple of coin of mediocrity challenges. We've had the Seminole Cup, and I don't know, it might be next week, it might be the week after, it might be on a Thursday, it could be Monday at like 8 p.m. We might have the AM, we're not quite sure just yet. So there's a lot going on in TLH MGA life right now, so excited to have that.
I'm excited this, we had our off-season event. I'm excited we brought on the number one picks from that event for the pod as we kind of walk through it. So I'll be interested in kind of hearing what Ian and Mr. Lang have to say about the Seminole Cup, because it was a good event despite the result. I mean, it was – weather was great.
The result was fine.
It was fine. It was a good match, 13-11. What can we say?
Yeah, I mean – I guess we should also introduce the other two people who are on here to talk about such events. Chapter leader Ian and T. Lizzie, Dickie Lang, Tom Lang on the other line. So everybody's here ready to talk about the Seminole Cup. So from the draft, I think we talked about this in a chat somewhere that, the draft and the pairings were pretty much really good. Nobody had any issue with those. Speak up, forever hold your peace. I see Ian kind of tilting his head. You know, number one overall pick.
No, I mean, other than that, that made sense. I thought it was a great draft.
Yeah, delivery was made. Mm-hmm. Delivery was made.
That's right.
I guess I'd be interested, before we kind of break down each pairing, we can start with Ian and Tom. What was your kind of overall take on the event? Because Millar and I go after that just because we were captains and the result was poor. But what was Ian and Lang? What was your overall feelings of Seminole Cup, 2021?
I mean, I thought it was ran great. I thought it was a great organization. The course was, playing just optimally.
Very mediocrely.
Yeah. And there was a big gator, so there's that. Tom, you got any thoughts?
I want to say thanks to the starter guy who helped us cut in line a few times when we had to restart on one. That was solid. And the event, man, it was kind of like a different climate than we had experienced to that point in 2021. It actually got kind of warm that day, but it was a good day for golf. didn't get the result we wanted on our side, but nonetheless, it was a beautiful day at Gaither Chamber of Commerce Day, you might say.
Yeah, and I mean, what I enjoyed the most was like the energy everyone had. It felt like you know, we haven't seen each other for a little bit, even though I see some of you guys at least, but it was just kind of the first time we got the whole band back together in a minute, and you could kind of, the energy there was palpable.
Palpable, good word.
Yeah, that's a big word.
The start of the real MVP. He let a lot of us skip the frat boys. And I don't know what more we want to talk about the outside the MGA things that were going on, you know, frat boys and, you know, perhaps maybe a accident of some sort. You know, I don't want to go into details, but it was
Millar, we specifically said we weren't going to talk about the accident. We discussed this.
I don't know what accident there was. There may have been one, but I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it. No. So
what we're getting to,
I'd like to speak to my lawyer.
If you want to hear about the accident, ask Matt Millar about it when you're not being recorded on something that's going out to upwards of 36 people. That's all we're getting at. And I want to be clear, I was not involved in the accident. I'm not doing this to protect myself, but I am doing it to protect somebody. So
you know who you are.
I don't know about this accident. I'm going to make sure I post about it online.
Yeah.
Complete news to me.
What's your boy's name on the Heat that said what he said? Myers Lemon or whatever.
Hey, not my boy.
So yeah, I guess, I mean, do you want to get into the rounds and the groups here? I mean, I know Joey and I were, you know, captains, co-captains, whatever you want to say. We had Tyler, my man Tyler, and Bill in our group. And I will say right off the bat that I do want to apologize to Joseph St. Germain and Bill William Fredericks of standing on the first tee and saying, I haven't played since November, and piping one 280 dead down the middle. I do want to apologize for
that. Yeah, yeah. fucking guys on the tee box, like, God, man, I hope I could just get this one off the tee. And then he proceeds to birdie the hole himself. And you're like, I mean, it's partially like, yeah, that's why you're GOAT. And then you're also partially like, yeah, just stop it.
Just shut up. Get the fuck out of here. No, totally understood. Totally understood. I do want to apologize for that. I will not apologize for the chip in. I think this was on, it was on six. I know it was on six. I don't know if it was in the scramble or the alt round. Chipping in for birdie on number six from what, 40 yards away, 30 yards away.
Yeah.
I don't apologize for that.
That was, I guess since we're breaking down our matchup, like it was one of those moments where we were sitting like 87 yards out after a couple of shots and we're in position A, and then Millar chips in for their birdie and it just goes pear-shaped the whole day. I must admit, I got to give credit to my playing partner. Bill kept us in it. I was struggling at that scramble. So at the same time, I got to give it to you, Millar. And Tyler, that was the first time I've played with Tyler. He's a good dude.
Yeah, good people, good people.
Excited. So what was the final score on your guys' groups?
Where did we go? Two and a half, one and a half?
Yeah. Each of us missed a putt on the last hole, which would have made up a half point either way. So it was started with me and Bill each missed a putt on scramble, and then Millar missed a putt on the
shocking,
on the alternate shot, and then Tyler missed a putt against Bill to get the, but it, they were all close except for when Millar whooped my ass in singles, because that was that got rough real quick. He was, we were on eight being like, what'd you get there? And I'm like, you won two holes ago. It doesn't matter. You're like, well, what is it? I'm like, I don't care. I have no idea.
And then when you figured it out, I didn't even write it down. And then I asked you the next day, hey, do you have our scores from yesterday?
No, I don't.
No, don't have them. Sorry.
Yeah, our record keeping for this event was fairly lackluster.
Well, I mean, 27, come on now.
So do you want to go to the next group? But I guess no one was with Bogusch, Big Dog, Kurt, Yateman, Tallis and Lang. When you saw that matchup, group five that you're seeing here on your screen, you know, what was your thoughts on how that one's going to go down? Because that was probably the toughest one to even guess, just because there's all these folks are relatively new to the TLH MGA.
Yeah, Tom, take it away. All right, I have lots of thoughts.
I knew that Big Dog would be colorful, even though I hadn't seen yet what he was going to wear on the given day, because Joey had
a good word.
He had an edict, Joey did, which was, all right, if Team Millar is going to wear garnet and gold, then wear anything but garnet and gold. Be colorful. And then Big Dog shows up like it's the Technicolor dream coat, and I'm sure that he was packing all kinds of goods, you know, just in terms of making sure he had a good time over 27 holes. So that could go a lot of ways. That could go a lot of ways, like depending upon, you know, who needed something from the cooler in his car. Is it a competitor or is it a teammate? It could have been anybody. So I had no idea. I was hoping, honestly, just as a team GSG, team JSG guy, first overall pick for our team, that if they split, then we're in good shape. But I had no idea what the hell was going to happen. It could have been 5-4 each match, and I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah, there was like throwing shit against the wall and seeing what stuck. That was one of those, let's see what happens. Bogey against Big Dog in singles. I mean, that's must-see TV.
Pure. That's pure.
Yeah, I'm there for that one. I would have I would have just tanked my match and walked around with a few of these pairings. That one in particular oh, man. And then Woodward and Yeatman. Who knows? Shit. I mean, anything can happen there.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, so I don't know. Can't wait to meet him, though. Can't wait to meet you guys.
He's good people. Good people.
Both great guys.
I mean, that's the thing. They are good folks. But, yeah, it's good to see Woodward played a couple tournaments, and then he kind of took last year off, I believe, because he had twins. And then for some reason, having twins, Millar, takes a lot of your time when they're young.
I've never heard that ever before. And I would also like to note that, yes, I played MGA when twins were 2 years old. So, all right, newborns, I'll give it to him.
All right.
Understood. I will allow it.
You have to set your priorities, though.
Yeah.
Like, you need to.
Come on.
You have to talk about these things before the twins arrive.
Yeah.
Honey, you know the MGA World Championship is in Vegas in November. This is, you know, not negotiable. Kidding.
So that foursome ended up 2-2, which was, you know, amazing.
I don't think we've gotten to the highlight that we all wanted the highlight from, which is the Haraga Klein group. I don't know how that finished.
So that's G2. That's the second group.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we not there yet?
We can be.
Let's just go to G2. That's so now we got 6-5. We'll go right to two, go right to the main event. Actually, Millar, this is right. It's right to do it this way. On our trip to group two, we had a layover in group six and a layover in group five. And now we're going straight to group two for the matchup. So
Chicago to Charlotte to Tallahassee.
Yeah. So this is the one that you wanted. Give us a preview on group two, Millar.
Well, from all I know, I wouldn't call it bad blood. I call it fun blood between, Haraga and Klein, and Dunn and Turk were in the other group. So it was,
best match play player in the MGA.
Who, Turk?
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy can play, man. You put him where he doesn't have to play for himself. he's all about it. So, it came down to, so I guess it was Haraga and Dunn in scrambles. Is that correct? And
yes.
And then alternate, and then Haraga and Klein in match. And Dunn against Turk in match. I'm not sure how that ended.
3-1, 3-1, Klein and Turk. Klein and Turk both swept the match play.
That's
because you
ideal.
Have the best match play player in the MGA.
It's not ideal. Not ideal. And Haraga making this great comeback, which was, you know, good to see. Welcome back, Haraga. A little shot. That's how we do. Good for you.
Yeah, got pounded by Klein, apparently. So
yeah, and Maybe he didn't have the second shot by then. I don't know. We'll have to check on that.
The other thing too, it's his first round back, and we're throwing him into 27 holes. I also want to give an award for worst clock management to the Turk. We had an 8:30 tee time of playing 27 holes of an MGA event, and he apparently set up an appointment for 12:30. you're not getting around 18 holes in 4 hours. You're definitely not getting around 27. I mean, he got us the points. I appreciate that, but he gets the Andy Reid clock management award for this one.
So a little backstory on that. Before the event, I think a couple days before, he's like, "Hey, can you put me out first? Because I got an appointment at around 12:30."
Dog.
I just like, yeah. I mean, it's a shotgun, so we're all going out at the same time. I didn't say there's zero chance you're ever going to get home at 12:30, but he still tried and he played the whole round. He made it to his appointment though. He made it like right as they were closing the doors to get his COVID shot. So
it's not frozen anymore. We're going to throw it out.
I mean, I am truly glad he made it. It's an important part of restarting, getting back to normal. But seriously, 4 hours for any MGA tournament. If you're just listening, just start with six and then work your way up from there. And that you have an MGA round most times.
Yeah.
Can I add real quick that Turk and Jen Ben, for her like five words that she offered during the draft, which was a lot of fun. But Turk and Jen Ben were on the medal stand, right? For the people who enjoyed the draft the most, Turk was lit.
Yeah.
He was ready to go. He was punctual, and he stayed late for that part of it. He did not want to stay late for the 27, but he would have stayed another hour or two for the draft post-party. Just saying.
Well, ready golf.
That's fair. That is fair.
Well, also, he showed up at like 8:40.
Okay.
For an 8:30 tee time. I mean, he was, I think, the last guy there. It was either him or Bogey.
Well, so there was the one at Capital City, too, where we're like, tee times were, you know, like 30 minutes ago.
Whoa, yeah, we played a five-some.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was the bastard shit.
Yep. So Blar, what group do you want to talk about now, Blar?
I guess we can go to the Buddy Jen Ben, Pete Maz.
Yeah, I think the winner of that one, The favorite to win that group before the group started was alcohol. I think that was the massive favorite to win that group.
Yeah, minus 450, easy. So
I think it was minus 0.28, probably.
Definitely plus 0.28.
Yes, definitely
plus. So yeah, I guess that one, I'm not sure what happened in the – I'm sure they split the team portion of the – competition, but the singles, the match play, Buddy beat Jen Ben and Pete beat Nikki to give Team Millar a 3-1 lead on that foursome.
That's what we do. Final score, what was it, 13-11?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. We got initials coming on the trophy. Hold on.
They were the last ones to come in, so they were the last group in.
Yeah,
that was it. It sounded like Nikki, he's been playing so well for a month or so. It sounds like he started to regress a little bit, almost like us mediocre golfers can't just play really well for months in a row for some reason.
You know, all the time. That's how it goes. I don't know. Where do you want to go from here? We got the coin challenge. Coin holder is
Blar,
online.
Blar.
What? No, you go.
First of all, there's still three groups to talk about the Seminole Cup, so I think we're going to wait on the coin challenge. secondly, I fucking guy. Since we have Ian and Tom here and we haven't talked about their groups, we'll let them hit that in a second. But first, I do want to talk about group Team Newbie, Corey, Brass Tap, Steve, Garrett, and Paul. It looks like they had a good time. And again, I want to give a lot of credit to Steven for ordering pizza and having delivered on the course during the event. That is really kind of stepping your game up. And I got to say, for not just a noob, but a straight up rookie, that's a veteran move right there.
Nothing but respect for that. That's That's impressive.
That was impressive.
I can't say much
I can tell you I was a witness to it. We were coming up nine, and they'd been hitting into us all day because Corey is he's a large being. Corey is not a small man, and he hits the ball as long or maybe longer than it looks like he can hit the ball. He's live for long drive props for sure this season. So, you know, that's how we got to meet him a few times as you hear it like hit the card path right behind you at like three bills all carry. And he's coming up nine, and me and Leedy are in the cart. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? It's just him. So everybody was two to a cart, and it's just him driving. I'm like, is he done? And then 10 minutes later, there he comes down the same ninth hole, and he's got a pizza box. That's what Leedy's like. He's got a pizza. Holy shit. I love this guy. And, yep, that's it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's legend status to kind of as your first. I can't like, touch that. If this was Top Shot, what a great first moment, you know? Just really the pizza order. Well done.
The high value moment.
Yeah, it is.
Bravo. Like, what card number, you know, 110?
Oh, that'd be a good one. I wouldn't mind 110.
Is that a good one?
110 is not a bad cereal for those of you out here in the Top Shot streets. So, everyone was hey Lang, do you want to break down how group four went? Please just be careful when you bring up Ron. Millar may just jump in with just words of just like, oh, I love how beautiful that man is and things of that nature.
Have you seen his calves?
I'm going to say some good things about Ron. So if Millar, if you will disable your camera for our Zoom, so just out of respect for us, I appreciate that. You can have some alone time. So our match started on number eight, which is the long par three, and the pin wasn't in yet. Like, we were driving up, and Leedy and I stopped, and Leedy was my teammate, and he's one of the best teammates you can have or somebody to get paired with. You're just always, always going to leave smiling and having a good time, and he played well. I'll get to that in a minute. But there was no
having pin. Bourbon.
Absolutely. You will smell bourbon. He had almonds. He was prepared. Music, almonds, bourbon. That's one, two, three. Nice combo. So the pin was actually in a different place for us for that go round than for anybody else because they hadn't changed it yet. I guess they weren't aware that there was a shotgun start for us. And so what I did was I took a swing tool I have, one of those old bullshit things you buy. It's the Momentous, the heavy golf club with the grip. And I stuck it where the pin should go so we at least had something to shoot. We also didn't know what tees we were playing for sure. So we played the tips and it was all the way back right. So it was like a 190-yard shot to start our day. And we started off very mediocrely. I about chipped in on the first hole there. It actually hit the grip of the swing tool, which has like little bumps on it, and it got rejected. Our group shot 38s on the scramble, which not bad for medios. It's not bad at all. Nobody won a hole. Nobody lost a hole. So it was a straight tie the whole way. And Ron and Scott, I got to tell you, the way they were putting, that's not a surprise for Scott Woods, but I hadn't seen Ron putt like this in a long time. So, Millar, this is probably that moment where you need some alone time. It was sexy. His efforts from distance were sexy. They were gimme machines. In the alt shot, they continued that way, too. Everything was a gimme. Any chance Leedy and I had to end the match early, it was a gimme. We end up winning the alt shot, though. I think it was 3-1 or 2-1, something like that. So on nine, real quick, you know, the shelf to the right on nine behind the bunker, that pin was evil that day. I move that we renamed that ledge Leedy's ledge because he made two putts from 15 feet down the hill straight in the heart that if he missed, they would have gone down the hill. And we would have had a 30 footer coming back the other way. So
wait, I got questions.
Yeah.
So first of all, you guys tied nine holes of scramble.
That's correct. Nobody won a hole. Nobody lost a hole for nine holes. We both shot 38. Yeah.
That's insane. Number two, Leedy made two putts on that hole?
Yes,
on
he did.
On nine?
Yeah. He made one. I think it was in the scramble to start, and then he made one in the alt shot. So it's like it's do or die, and he needed to have it to win the hole, and he buried it dead central. He was also money on every putt from 4 to 8 feet, those little testers, dead center every fucking time. That's why we won the alt shot. As convincingly as we did, Leedy was, he was on fire. But then unfortunately, singles started after that, and that's where the wheels really came off. Sexy Ron, he was just, it was like the Care Bear stare, man. It was just too much. And so he outlasted Leedy, and then
He's only sexy for 18 holes.
And then Scotty Woods and I, we had a good match for the first 5-6 holes where there was a little bit of a roller coaster in the standings. But he's so goddamn scrappy, and he is such a good he's never out of the fucking hole. You can never breathe easy, and then he'll sneak up on you. Next thing you know, he's dormy, and I'm just like, well, shit. And I felt so bad after the round because he played well. It's not like he didn't earn it. He earned it. He hit some awesome shots. He stayed in play. But when you're looking at the deficit at the end, you're like, man, if I could have gotten Scott, then maybe we would have been to a putt-off. But full marks to Mr. Woods. That was the first 27 of 45 straight holes I would end up playing with Scott Woods. But he was a beast. And so they carried the singles to Love. And then I think it was a 2.5, 1.5. Edge for them in the group play. So sorry, Joey. I'm really sorry.
Hey, listen, I should have beat Millar, and then we could have been fine. So, but I did. So I hear you.
No. Yeah, I think we've all. I think at least Joey, Tom, and I have been witness to Scott's scrambling powers.
Yeah, Scott will take it to you, man.
Supernatural, really.
No, it's I still remember that whole 8-17 against UE, and that was just a couple of them shots were just unreal.
I don't know what to talk about.
Okay, well, especially because you're smoking at that hole, and all of a sudden Scotty's like, "Well, 190 under a tree, carry a bunker, and then stop it." I got that shot. I'm like, "Yeah, easy who game. Has that shot?"
Yep, I had an eagle chip. Didn't work.
Well, all right, what's the next group? What do we got next?
We got the last one was the high profile group of Burke and Dan and Ian and Joe P. So that was it was the one that got the highest ratings. I heard from Nielsen,
and it should have. So in scramble, we started off in the worst hole too. We started off in the par five, the long par five over the creek and all that crap.
Down the middle, dog. What's the problem?
Yeah, easy. We in the scramble, we started 4-0. We won the first four holes. That was with some I made a ridiculous putt on the first one, the first hole, that par five, in order to win it. Next hole, I eagled, so that was cool.
I didn't hear about that. Nobody heard that.
We were on the green that's right by there. I was like, you fucking serious?
Number good, three, great. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I drove the green and I made like a 25 footer. It was pretty impressive. I'm pretty happy with myself on that one. After that, I could not hit a drive. So I basically wasted my drive on that hole and most of my putts. But we won a few more holes after that. And then we lost four straight holes to make it, even all square going into nine. And nine, we ended up just par and we chopped that scramble. It was great. Happy about that.
That was almost the exact opposite. The result was the same as Lang's, but almost the exact opposite. There was blood on almost all of your holes where Lang's matchup was exactly the same.
Was nothing.
We were a bunch of wusses, cowards. There was no blood.
We had a lot of blood. Most of it was not my own.
Pouring everywhere.
The outshot, also fun, was a little different. It was just back and forth the whole time. Coming up on nine on our last hole, we were tied. We scrambled our asses off to get to all square going into the last hole, par three. I think Dan hits it, or Joe P hits it into the green. No, it was Dan. Dan hits it into the green because then Bob hits it into the sand. I get my angry face going. Yeah, I get my angry face going. I grab my sand wedge and I walk over to the sand trap. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm walking this one out.
this is an alt shot.
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, sure, Bob.
You're good,
that.
Bob. I'm good from the sand right now. This is gonna be easy. But I needed some alone time. So I went down there. I put it within like 3 feet, and Bob had the most nervous putt I've ever seen him make in his life. He was terrified because they were already in for three. So his knees were shaking, but he put it in the middle of the cup. I was proud of old Bob for doing that. So we have that one as well. And then Bob's wheels were just gone. I mean, I think flats are, yeah, they weren't flat. They were just not there anymore. So he was running on rims. He lost quite easily. I think he lost like 4 and 3 or something. I don't know. It was bad. Joe P and I were grinded a little bit, and then I got him by the 8th hole. I got him. It was like 3-2. But then Joe P, I mean, I had like 5 strokes on him or 6 strokes on him. And I think I 4 holes I was getting. I mean, he has 13 strokes. He's obviously a great golfer, but he sucks for the MGA. I'm a shitty golfer that sucks for the MGA as well. Asshole. Yeah, it was not great. But, you know, I got Joe P, which is a highlight of my last few months of golf. And I'll probably forget about it because it's not that important. You know, it's just Joe P. But he'll remember it. I'm sure he will, because it was memorable. He had to play me and he lost. So that sucks for him. Yeah, King Noob lost to, you know, me, little old me. So we ended up having the whole thing. So we went 2-2. I think we were us. There's only one of the group five also tied all the way. So we were the only groups that tied half the whole thing. But it was an intense competition. Bob and I were pushing each other.
You gotta push.
Well, you have to. Push, that's the only way to do this. You know.
I mean, if you don't push, what are you doing? What are we talking about?
It was mostly me just trying to drag Bob away from the edge of a cliff, half the round. So.
Fairway Bob was not fairway Bob.
That is actually his issue. He could not keep the fucking driver on the fairway.
Oh,
at wow. least until in the singles, his driver was just long gone. That's where the wheels went. Was along with his driver
in the same direction of the tree.
Same, in the same ditch, multiple times in the same ditch. So, you know, but it was fun. We had a good time and I got to beat Joe. So what else can I say?
There you go. Hey, so Ian, if you had to schedule a Seminole Cup for next year, are we doing a similar format?
Oh no, it's going to be Gaither. Like there's, right. I mean, it's already
Gaither for life, it. Man.
It's 27 holes of Gaither. That's the kind of hell we deal with in our first event of the year.
Well, if we do that, I'll just remind me to get a pair of Chubbies so I can fit in around that course, because they came in strong with the Chubbies.
Yeah, I may have to add another $5 or $10 to everybody's buy-in or to everybody's tea time just so we can order pizzas.
It's not a bad idea.
And have them delivered on 9. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm down with that.
Yeah, have our, have our range.
Yeah, or just by the course, man.
Yeah, give us pizzas on the at the turn.
Any other groups we need to focus on?
That's all the groups.
No, that's all of them. I have stopped the share in honor of working through all the groups. But I will say, Millar, congrats to you and your team. You were the better team that day.
Damn right.
So congrats. Enjoy having your name, or at least initials, on the trophy.
I'll take initials, but yes, I will present front and center that there is a dent in the trophy, but I think it gives it character. So I'm excited about the character that the trophy is going to have. Super excited about it.
Yeah,
nobody's upset.
If your MGA trophies don't have a dent or some tape or something holding something together, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, my second money title trophy, the club fell off. I can go get it for you and show it to you if you want.
So is the dent in the trophy the accident that you were talking about earlier?
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yes. Oh,
that's 100%. It. Oh, that's no big deal at all.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what it was. No big deal at all. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it
was. Right, yeah, that was it.
Thank you, Tom.
So I think 3 of my trophies have super glue on them.
Oh yeah.
I have two and three with tape.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 10 total, but you know.
Tom, how about you?
Oh.
Talk to me in about 6 months and we'll see. But not right now. I've got a coin and that coin is shiny. It's heavier than I thought it would be too.
Yeah, it's a sturdy coin. I guess this would make sense. I mean, Tom's a pro. He's like, I'm going to start the segue right now. We're getting to the coin. I guess spoiler is the current coin holder. But I mean, since we last chatted, Ian, I don't know if you have in front of you, did Scott win 4 or 5 coin challenges in a row?
If you give me like 2 seconds, I'll turn a monitor on.
Yeah, I can hold out. I mean, I know we played you, Joe P.
He took it from Dan, and then I
yeah, he beat Dan. He beat Brian Dunn. He beat myself. He beat Joe Petrowski. Lost to Tom Lang. So 4-1.
So before we talk to Lang and congratulate Lang on that, I just want to take a moment to say that's a heck of a run by Scott Woods, frankly. And I mean, yeah, I think everyone is really kind of, I mean, we weren't all intentionally falling over ourselves to kind of congratulate Scott, but he just grinds, and it's actually, especially in the coin challenges, it's really fun to watch. It's got to be frustrating as hell to play, but it's a really fun to watch when you're there.
Ian's got a long look on his face. How frustrating was it to play Scott that day?
It was pretty frustrating. I mean, I had a pretty good round. I don't remember what I shot. It was something like,
it was so
like 86, I think. 86.
I think it's 85, 89, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But then plus five, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's 84. So it was 84, 89.
Yeah. It was good. I played well. I really could not have played better. And Scott was just unreal. I mean, I thought I had him three different times in the match. I thought he was going to fold. I obviously hadn't played enough with Scott to know that he was never going to fold. But yeah, he's good. I mean, that guy he's so steady. I think if he's got to get a little lucky to actually push through and get a mid 80s round to win a tournament, but I think he's got it in him.
I mean, I played with him 28 times, maybe 29. So yeah, that guy is due. He is due to come through. Absolutely. So Tom, current coin holder.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of someone who's due to win one, we also got Lang. So Lang, what did it take to overcome Scotty? Because at the moment when you beat him, he was the all-time greatest Tallahassee Coin of Mediocrity champion of all time.
Well, I felt the accomplishment the moment that the match was over. I felt the magnitude of that moment. You could see in Scott the willingness to just push through. Fellas, he shot 94, and you might say, whoop-de-doo, he shot 94. Well, it's not 94 the traditional way. This was no 47-47. This was 55-39. 55-39. He beat me on the back nine, and I had a really good back nine. But Joey can tell you. So he was one of the markers in this group along with Alan Ball. It's great to see Alan because he was not out at the Seminole Cup. But the band's really getting back together. But yeah, the conditions, everybody's morale at the beginning of the round. I was the last one to show up. I was going to go hit like five golf balls and just start. I got there about 15, 20 minutes early, and it's last Saturday morning. You guys might remember it. It's 40 degrees. It's raining. It's miserable. It's not quite bad enough for Karn to close, but you kind of closed up inside a little bit. There's a little sadness inside. And Joey could speak to it. You could see it on everybody's face. It was like, we're just going off cold. Let's go. So the conditions were a little bit nasty. And I appreciate you, Joey, for pushing through because there was nothing on the line for you. There was no side action.
Admittedly, Tom, if there wasn't a coin, I would have been deuces at the turn. I mean, like, hey, this is great. I'm cold and very wet. And this is everything that's terrible. I mean, the good news is the weather got better around then and it turned around. But man, cold and wet is not the way to go through life, kids.
So I think there's some poetic justice to this match for Scott because he divulged on the course that the reason he beat B-Dunn was he got him wasted. You know, he said that B-Dunn was in that match early, but then his strategy was to feed B-Dunn some booze. And the opposite was true for Scott. Scott, as I said, went out in 55. Actually, we both started like pure garbage. Joey must have been puking in the cart, and he hit it well through the bar back because I'm sitting next to him. Scott and I both, we both tripled four and five. I could tell you there was some pressure, but it was also just misery and eight in the morning. But it was bad, bad golf for the first five holes between the two combatants. And Scott at the turn decided that it was time for some liquor. So he went to the 19th. We took an extra 5 minutes before we started our 10th hole. And from there, I don't
19
think
19 to 10, strong move.
Yes, he did not miss a fairway or a green or regulation, I don't think, on the way to shooting 39. I mean, Joey, you know it. He missed maybe one or two putts from inside of 10 feet or else that's a cool 37.
No,
he was on fucking fire.
It was unreal. I mean, you've played with someone who's had a round like that before, but they kind of usually put up a 42 on the front and then they do something crazy. Like on the front, there was a couple holes where I'm just like, I feel really bad for Scott right now. It is awful. He's been crushing this challenge, and it is just the swing wasn't there. And man, you get that double bourbon in him, and he was a new man.
He was. Yeah, I'm so thankful he didn't do it sooner. And I could tell you that around hole six, which is where one of the turning points in the match, I birdied that hole after tripling back to back holes. Hit a drive right around the corner down the hill. It was in perfect spot. Then I had about a 30 footer left to right. It's over the hump in the middle of the green. And from what my partner said over there, it was going dead center the whole way. Scott carded a seven on that hole. So there you go. That's like the big moment. That's the big swing. Scott looked completely lost. And I was thinking to myself, good Christ, Tom, you're not going to get a chance to challenge for the coin for like three more months. Please, if he's not feeling it, will you please play fucking golf? Will you play fucking golf? And from number six on, I was five over the rest of the day. That's good golf.
Shit down.
But here's what happened. I still lost on the back nine because Scott shot 30 fucking nine on the back nine. It was unbelievable.
And he
did not go lightly. And I appreciate the shit out of that.
And Tom's exactly right. I mean, he like legit some of those putts that he missed, that's a 36 or 37 on a day he putts okay on the back. It was insanity to watch. So what we're saying is make sure you drink your bourbon out on the course, kids, because at least Scotty Woods, maybe he learned something. You better keep an eye on him now that he knows how much bourbon to drink.
So Ian was saying he's got to get a little lucky to push into the mid-80s. Listen, kids, if your group was Scott and there is bourbon, the hint of bourbon in the air on the first tee, you're fucked. Don't make a side wager. Do not do it. One more thing. I'll brag on it. One shot. Joey was there. It was number. It was number. Oh, no humble. This is a good shot. I was proud. I missed my drive. I was behind the trees all goddamn day, scrambling my ass off. But on 15, I go over the bunker to the right. It is piped, but it's behind a tree. And then I hit a slice, an intentional slice with a 3-iron around the tree from 110 out. It's a little bit, it's about 5-10 yards right of where I wanted, but it's directly on line with the pin, and I had a 10-footer for birdie. And Scott looks incredulous. He is furious with me that I was able to pull that shot off, but it was intentional, and that was the last push from Mr. Woods.
Kind of like 17. When
at Capital City?
No. At Killarn, where he pulled a bogey out of his ass after being behind two trees.
I mean, both shots are probably in the same chapter in MGA lore, having got to see both of them, because both of them were like, all right, this shot is impossible. I hope they do something okay with this. And both of them were just Scotty's. And then the shot Lang is talking about, it was one of those shots like we could spend 10 minutes describing it and you would need to be there and see it to kind of see. It's this snake shot that rolls up. And Tom's right. Scotty was like, wait, I might have just played my way back into this thing. And then it was just like, nope, done.
Nope, I'm good. All good.
That's what it takes to beat Scott Woods. Heroic shots like the one on 15 and on March 6th, the year of our Lord 2021. And I'm glad Joey was there to see it, because all I could say when it was in the air was, fuck yeah, that's right online. And it was just like when Jack talked to his son, you know, on 16 at Augusta.
Same thing.
Yeah. Be right. And Jack's like, it is. You know, you might have heard that story once or 5 million times. That's what it felt like. So now I'm right there with you, Jack.
I think I already got the close, so we're good there. I appreciate that, Tom. So Tom, do you want to give us a I guess Ian, you're playing as well. Do we have a preview for the upcoming coin challenge?
No, I mean Tom's got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna watch.
Tom's all about that.
Man, I cannot wait. I haven't played Seminole yet. I'm so excited to play Seminole with y'all.
That's a great idea to play.
And it's paid for
challenge.
Right? Even better.
It is. Well, that's why I accepted it, because it's a paid for challenge at Seminole. I mean, you know, like typically I believe the coin holder is supposed to set the parameters. But when Pete's like, oh, I'll pay for you, I'm like, all right. Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Come on, man. Let's play Seminole, man. That'd be great.
We're playing Saturday at 11 o'clock. And Pete, I think he has to beat me by four, because he's carrying four shots total.
Yep.
Is that right? All right. So we have a difference of three and a tie goes to the coin holder. So he's got to beat me by four. But I heard Joe P shot 99 the first time out there. So I'm scared. I'm going to get there early to learn those greens as best I can. But
he had a bad time. Joe P, that is. He had a bad time when we played with him.
You were there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I will say, if for those of you who plan on going to Revere and Vegas in November, that's going to be the closest thing we got to Revere. So get to know Pete and Joel Webb and any other member out at 7 a little bit better if you're going to go out to Vegas, because that will be the best prep we got in town.
Yes, agreed. Minus the water, I guess, out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, or the rocks.
I mean, those rocks kick you anywhere, and that's the best part of that course.
But I mean, really, the greens are just something different, and Seminoles are just a lot different than anyone else we're used to seeing here.
So, the money guys, how would you handicap this match on Saturday? Because he's got to win by 4, but I've never played the goddamn course, and he knows it. So, is it about even? How would you create the line?
I'd favor him by 1.5 strokes.
Okay, all right.
With penalty.
Okay, that's okay. I'm closer to even, but I have to give him the favorite just because, you know, even if Pete or Ian or myself is in the cart with you or telling you like, hey, here's what to do here, the first time around, man, it's kind of a mind fuck. So, it should be a good match, I think, but I'd have to give it to Pete just because that first time is something.
There's going to be like 6 holes you recognize, and then the rest is completely different.
I'm kind of in between because while I know Pete can play, that course can get in your face pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So I don't care how many times you've played it, I'm liable to shoot 100 out there anytime I step on the tee. So who knows?
All right. So, I mean, we have to make a bet. We have to go to Biloxi. I mean,
yeah.
Winning score on Saturday's Mediocrity Challenge, Coin of Mediocrity. Let's put it at 91.5.
And this is no strokes, I'm assuming?
No, it's final after strokes, the winning score.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's go 93.5 with strokes.
Yeah.
Over.
That's a good line.
I'll take over for a lot.
See, I don't know. I trust Tommy. He's been playing, man.
But first time.
Well, and it's Pete's course.
One thing Pete said is he wanted to play from the threes, though. He wanted to play one tee up, he said.
Ooh, I'll go under 93.5.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk him out of that, that's fine. But that's
no.
Cool thing, you know, so.
All right,
that's perfectly fine.
All right, if you play the threes, let's go 94.5.
No, it goes the other way.
We got to go the other way.
No, yeah, that's what I meant, 92.5.
See, that I don't – that's a good line, I think. I will say, as a quick aside, Ian, if we ever do Seminole as an MGA Tour, we probably should play the threes because the fours is long and that thing's a cluster as it is.
Nah, that's probably a lock. I don't trust this group playing a 7-hour round from the fours.
Yeah, we'd definitely get that 7 hours if we played from the fours. That's for sure.
Might be the first and last round at Seminole in NBA history.
All right, $25, 92.5 from the threes. I will take the over.
I'll take under.
I'll take under. Screw it.
All right. So we got.
You want to do 10-10 each or?
No, 25 each.
Oh, okay. Let's fucking go.
In Biloxi.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, we got to drive over.
It's COVID.
All right. So 92.5 after strokes. Ian and I both have under. Millar has over 92.5 after strokes.
For winner of coin. Yes.
Yes. So
it's coming. And Pete is coming.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, since Ian and I are there, no matter what Pete's number is, Lang's going to come
92.
At a 91 or worse. So we'll just make sure we adjust that shit a little bit, regardless of how it goes.
Just change it up.
Double eagle on 18.
Yeah, it's happened before. Somebody's done it.
For sure.
All right.
I guess one other thing before, I don't know what else you want to talk about, but just a reminder to everyone, May 15th is the Florida Cup against all the other chapters in Fort Myers. The more of us that go, the more chances we have on one, retaining the cup for ourselves, and two, making sure Florida Man is represented by Tallahassee for the third time out of four.
Yes, absolutely. Make it happen.
Yeah, that still hasn't registered to me, like in my personal mind schedule.
Well, that's a thing, but AMM hasn't registered to you either, so.
Wow. So, yeah, so you guys want to talk about that little snafu we had today?
We might as well.
We didn't have a snafu. Nobody had a snafu.
As a group.
One person had a snafu.
As a group, we had some issues.
How did you expect that to go when you're like, all right, I'm about to send this email that I screwed up big time.
So, okay.
And then 4 minutes later, all right, hold on.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Okay, so this is the whole story. I talked to Capital City about playing the Bastards there.
Oh, congrats.
Apparently, every MGA event that we have scheduled is the event of their monthly tournament. Member guest, you fucking name it. I gave them a list. They said, we can't do these dates, but we can do these dates. And I said, okay, well, then just book me for the 20th. And I completely forgot to change the date on the website. Obviously, my bad. Everybody registered. We had 24 people on. It was great. I show up to the course yesterday and I talked to the guy who's in the front desk. He asked me, hey, you guys are coming back here in like 10 days, right? And I'm like, yeah. What day is that again? The 27th? He's like, no, the 20th. I'm like, yeah, okay. So all I get back.
Good talk. See you later.
Yeah. Well, this morning I come back and I'm like, oh, shit. Let me check what's on the website. And the website obviously says the 27th, as everybody is aware. And I call them.
There's only 419 players registered for it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like our second largest tournament ever up to this point. So immediately I sent an email like, hey, guys, my bad. It's actually on the 20th. I hope this isn't going to be an issue. I also posted in our chat, like everybody listening to this already knows. Immediately, I get three or four messages on the group just like freaking out. Particularly Joey's was upsetting.
Yeah. Narrator, it was an issue. It is the start of the NCAA basketball tournament. Like the only four narrator, days I have blocked. I blocked that off before fucking Christmas. And he's like, oh yeah, we're going to play it. I was like, okay, I'm out. But yeah, it definitely was. It was an issue for me.
I'm trying to find the actual wording because it was great.
I was just glad it wasn't just me, because like as soon as a few people jump in, just like bang, 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 bang.
So I posted it. For those of you who don't check your emails, whatever, I fucked up, etc. Joey just immediately within probably 2 seconds posts fuck. So during the NCAA tournament. Very passive aggressive. It was
Sweet 16.
I'm from Minnesota. That's the only. If there isn't, it's not totally aggressive. There's some passive aggressiveness. Like, that's how it goes.
You could have finished it off with a K at the end. Like
I missed a trick.
Lowercase.
But you were just too angry. Literally, my phone screen fogged up, just because of Joey's steam and anger. So immediately, I'm like, all right. A couple people were dropping out. So I was like, all right, let me find a solution. So I called Southwood, and it's more than likely that we're going to be able to go there. I'm going to find out in the next day or so. Worst case, we go to Killarn. Worst case, we go to Quincy. I don't care. We'll figure it out. But it'll be the day the 20th. And after I sent that direction, yeah, Seminole is probably going to be later in the year. I don't think we're ready for that noise.
No.
I think we already have 30 people registered, which is terrifying.
29 is nuts. Now. Somebody dropped out. I don't know who the fuck
it is. Crazy to see how it's grown. And then you watch like what some of the other Florida chapters are doing in Vegas. Like they do active marketing, like, oh, you got to come join the MGA. And we're like, yeah, we're going to tell you what's going on, but you folks figure your shit out. I'm not asking any of you motherfuckers to come anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm doing the opposite. Really. It's active.
Yeah. I don't tell anybody.
Yeah. People just come at me. I'm like, yeah, sure. Whatever. If you want to, I guess.
You
want
to do this? Join. All right, cool.
Is everybody here doing the Florida event?
I am.
Yeah, I'm planning on going.
I'm 50-50.
Yeah. So, you know, like the scrolling credits in Star Wars, like they're not quite gone yet. They're like fading away. Mm-hmm. There's like little things. That's me being mazzed from a few weeks ago. So I need those to disappear before I push for that. So that's what I'm waiting on.
Buddy, everybody's been mazzed.
Hey,
yeah.
That I'm officially an MGA or as of about, yeah, that when those credits happen, that's about a month ago, 6 weeks ago now.
What was your favorite part of the getting mazzed experience?
The conversation's always great. Like you don't get mazzed without really awesome conversation going on and weird shit and funny stories. But I have to say, since I'm a bit of a masochist, probably the next day and how the level of communication was like radio silence for about 10 hours. So yeah, that was awesome.
those are some of the best parts. So it goes. Well, but at least you've done it. We've all been there.
Well, you also got Aussie too, from what I understand.
Now, hang on a minute. The post Seminole Cup celebration at the place that they went, I think put him in position. I was just there to say, come on, watch some basketball on the deck. And, you know, a couple of beers later, he did the right thing. And he said, I'm going to be the responsible Australian American that I am. And I'm just going to crash here. And I'll get on the road in the morning. But a few of the medios decided after the Seminole Cup to have a big time. So that's what did that mostly. But yes, it did end up with West Coast basketball on T Lang's deck.
They were watching the Warriors play the Blazers at 11 o'clock at night.
And like Gonzaga beating somebody by 50. And yet we were
ribbing. UCLA playing USC.
BYU Hawaii.
I still have some of the Budweiser tall boys left. See,
there you go. That's how you know.
That's how you know. Yeah, they were here, man. The old timers were here.
No, that is great to hear. In fact, I'm really looking forward to. I actually think there's a real chance we will have an MGA event this year where we all feel normal enough to actually like do that post event, not just some of us, like all of us. And I'm really looking forward to that one.
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
That's not far away.
Yeah, mine's. I got a vaccine one yesterday, so it's 20 days from now. It's about to get live.
We're live. Well, speaking of live, do you want to bring it home? What's coming up here in the next mediocre happy hour?
Yeah, well, just before we let you go, just thanks Ian and Tom for stopping by, being number one picks and participating. Dang. We appreciate it, and also for the draft. That was a really fun event, and it sounded like everyone else had a great time just participating in that Zoom. But coming up, I'm gonna tell you how Tom Lang is actually better than Jack Nicklaus.
Hey there, Big Voice Guy here again, wrapping things up. Check back next time for another rousing edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or account of this podcast without the express written consent of the Tallahassee MGA is prohibited. Son of a bitch, you guys take this thing seriously around here, huh? Well, I'm gone.